Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, a world-building podcast where you throw spaghetti at the wall and it is up to you what sticks. I am Kyle.
I am Ethan. Today's episode, we're trying out something new that I have no idea how it
works. We have a new...
Kyle, help. Oh, you fucked up.
So we are going to try a new format for the day, courtesy of longtime listener Nathan. Shout out to Nathan for this suggestion. Nathan, who suggested this idea, which is essentially from... we have done D20 episodes in the past where we roll a D20 to like pick a new god, and we have 20 words that are predetermined, and we
from, notoriously from D&D subclasses.
From D&D, but Nathan suggested this system that has only a couple pages, a couple, you know, it's pretty small, but it's called Nave, and we're going to try to use, they have a bunch of D100 tables, and we're going to use those as jumping off points to do a little bit of world building here now. So we're going to basically do full improv where we don't even have a basic concept. I'm going to roll, and we're going to come up with a place name. We're going to come up with a location, a structure, and a trait, and then we're going to take, you know, like a minute to think of an idea. We'll cut out that.
We're going to fast forward it.
We're
not going to make you sit here.
No, but
while I annoy Kyle,
Ethan and I will both have about a minute to think up.
I'd like 61 seconds.
61 seconds. You'll have 59, and then we'll come up with whatever the idea we're going to talk about is, and go. And it can be literally an interpretation of the thing. It could be, you know, the history of it. It could be what just happened in that place. Whatever. It's fully a jumping off point, as improv is. So without further ado, let's get into that.
No, but.
All right. Do you want to go first?
Hit me up.
Okay. Do you want to roll the D100?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, absolutely. Clackety Math Rocks, of course.
Clackety Math Rocks, go.
42.
All right, your location is Hot Spring.
A hot spring. 20.
It's a city.
71.
It is a screaming city.
A hot spring. So screaming city, hot spring.
Those are your three words. The city doesn't have to be screaming. The word screaming is here. It's a city and a hot spring.
I don't like where my brain just went, but...
Is everyone being burned to death in a hot spring?
Sort of. Okay. How do you kill an underwater kingdom?
You just heat up the water?
Yeah, you just kind of boil the ocean a little bit there. And then suddenly the kingdom of coral starts getting really loud under the water.
Oh, I don't like this.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is not a specific place. This is just an event.
Yeah,
where the very Aquaman Namor style, the surface, there's surface world versus undersea world, and you know Ariel's been up there starting some shit with Prince Eric, seducing Prince Eric with her siren song and getting him to start, you know, demilitarizing the surface world, and that's a problem. And so what are we going to do? We are going to end Triton as a threat once and for all and take down Sebastian as much. We're going to get sued for this.
So
that's the easy one. The easy one is immediately, how do you kill a kingdom under an ocean? You boil the water.
I don't know if that was easy. My brain did not go there. That's an intense one. Now, how are they heating up all that water?
Magic. I'm just going to hand wave it. Or you could do Euclidean death ray. Who came up with the death ray?
I don't know.
Da Vinci? Was it Da Vinci?
I think it may have been the Euclidean death ray. Either way.
One of them had the mirror death ray thing. And I think that could also work. That would actually be even more impressive.
Obviously, this won't actually work. But I love the idea, because just we have actual geology. But I love the idea, because I love lava, of if they somehow are able to just like flood a bunch of lava and heat up the water up on top where and like form new land, new islands up there.
That's cool.
And then it's like, but also like it might, I don't know exactly the physics of it, but does that like burn away some of the oxygen or like the air, because it's like there's fire or not, I don't even know.
I mean, if you drill deep enough, you would probably create some new form of underwater volcano, which would certainly
fuck with them.
Yeah. And probably make that kingdom scream.
Yeah. And then it would maybe, through that lava shooting out, create a hot spring.
Create
in
a hot spring or in a city, or create... Oh, I forgot about the hot spring part. But yeah, I think it still works.
I think it's interesting if the hot spring is the like remnant of the destruction of the underwater, that works too. Of the underwater place.
Where that,
like,
works too.
This is the memorial, but that they kind of don't acknowledge is that's what it was. I don't know. Do they acknowledge their history? Or
do they know their history? I think is the more interesting question.
And they cut out the secrets and no one actually knows.
And now kids can't enter until they're 12.
What?
That's a rule for jacuzzis, technically. It's like you have to be 11 or you can't enter before you're 11 or 12.
Okay.
Technically speaking.
It's very strange.
Yes, it is. But yeah. All right. So what did you come to brain mind? Wow. What came to mind for you on that one?
Oh, okay. So I'm coming with one too. Yeah. Okay. So I'll give my notes on it. I thought immediately of a far more idyllic location where there is like a city in the mountains on a hot spring, and it's like a tourist destination. It's very, very Japan. It's very gorgeous and, like, you know, flowing, and there's a hot spring and everyone kind of like flows here. But then you have a disruption. So why are people screaming? And then I was thinking about almost like as like a, I don't know exactly where to take it, but I like the idea that every year or every period of time there is some sort of ritual or some sort of event that involves a bunch of screaming that, like, shatters the established way of doing things. Maybe it's like there's like a running of the bulls type situation where, like, everybody starts like I don't know.
Just I think there's something fun could be they have to pick up. There is a ritual where they have to pick up and hold and maybe pass around part of some of the incredibly hot burning stone that from deep underground that keeps the hot spring hot.
Yeah.
And then that's part of the ritual. So everyone's standing there and holding it collectively and they're burning.
Or I like that. What if they drain the hot spring? They're able to magically drain the hot spring and they all walk along the stones that are up the stream where they don't actually get to go, where it's even hotter. And they all walk up there to do like some maintenance or something. And they're all screaming bloody murder because they're walking through there. But they forbid you from wearing shoes because, like, this is a sacred spring and we need to go there and, like, and provide maintenance and help.
So make it seasonal then. Okay. And this ritual happens in the fall before winter comes again. And because the rock bed is so naturally hot, it's the falling snow that melts and turns and refills the spring.
Ooh, interesting.
So then over time, in winter, it refills all the way. And then over time, you know, spring, it starts growing. And then over summer, it starts evaporating and finally fully evaporates away.
So, like, ooh, all right. So
and then it just refills.
So at the end of, like, the summer, like, as throughout the fall, they are draining the pool themselves.
I think it naturally evaporates.
Well, hold on. Let me get my point across. Is that they are physically draining it for like a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And it is like there's some evaporation and there's also them removing the water. And as they're doing that, there's less and less water. So the rocks at the bottom start getting hotter and hotter because there's still like the underground heat.
Sure.
And so by the time they get to the bottom, truly, the rocks are scorching because there's no water cooling anything anymore.
Yeah.
It's just like undispersed heat. And then it's really hot to be in there. And then in the winter, whenever it goes in there, then it sizzles and you see huge steam clouds billowing out of the springs because now they are being replenished.
Dope.
And then springs come back.
Yeah.
Cool.
Take it.
All right. So then let's do a roll for me now / for you.
You got a roll in.
You roll. So I'll get the show.
8.
A barn.
14.
Well, I'm sorry, what was that number?
14.
13?
Yes.
A collapsed barn.
23.
Crystals? That's the location. I'm not sure what that means.
Figure it out. Your time starts now.
So, collapsed barn crystals. I think this is formerly farmland, very nice farmland. You know, this is fertile and arable land, and a bunch of like large crystal structures started growing up out of the ground and destroying the land, which included like coming into the barn and collapsing the farmhouses, collapsing the whole area basically, where it just becomes this big crystalline plain. And there you can still find these remnants of the former farmland and like, you know, some like small villages or whatever that are just collapsed within these like within these large crystal structures. Now the question becomes, how are these why are these crystals here? And this is where I'm still trying to figure it out. So this might be where the conversation can happen, is that my brain goes to a couple ideas. Like, one, it is some sort of monster is responsible, you know, like a giant crystal beetle thing or whatever. Another is that there was this was like through heat, like super heat of some kind, in homage to your glass desert thing. You know,
like, I love that idea.
Like something like that, but we've already touched upon it, so I mean it's not worth doing here because we've already done that. Or it's that like something happened within the earth that no one actually understands, and we can hand wave what happened, but these crystals have come out, and now what was previously a useful resource as farming is now a valuable resource because people want to harvest these crystals for something. But only a few people were like, it's like a new thing. Now it's like, oh, we have all this research. What do we do with it? Much like, it's like Kyber crystals or something.
Yeah.
But like, they don't know what to do with it yet. And people are figuring that over time. And now this desolate, like, crystal land, people are now going and being like, oh, well, this is no longer useless. Now we can figure out a use for it and we can harvest it. And then they're finding the remnants of what the farms used to be.
I like it.
I don't know what they're using it for. Some new Magitek type thing.
Yeah.
Hex tech.
Sure.
It's coming to a
store near you.
You know. Yeah. Thoughts?
Giant meteor hit it. Giant crystalline meteor hit the barn.
Okay. Did it just the barn?
Yeah.
So the rest of the world's fine?
I mean, the localized area is probably a little fucked up. Especially when you consider all the magical radiation that came along with it. And no one knows where the meteor is. This is maybe the first.
No one knows where the meteor is.
Came from, excuse me. No one knows where the meteor came from.
No, but I think you're Freudian slip. I think that's actually far more
interesting. Sure, yeah. Crystalline meteor hit it, and there's remnants of crystals everywhere in the barn collapse, but no one knows where the big thing is.
Yeah.
Sure.
Where'd it go? Did someone take it?
I like the idea that it moved somewhere on its own more.
Okay. Is it a beetle? Or is it like, is it something that we would recognize as a creature of, where you're like, oh, that's just like a weird creature? Or it'd be like, no, that's a fucking alien.
I think alien.
Okay.
I think very distinctly alien.
Dangerous? Or harmful? Or harmless?
Both.
So if you got close to it and like provoked it to be dangerous, but otherwise it's just kind of doing something.
Just kind of wants to be left alone. Very iron giant. Except crystal beetle.
All right, here's an idea. Let's combine the ideas.
Combine the ideas.
It's aliens. They're crystally creatures of some kind. They
shardlings.
Shardlings. Ooh, I like it. All right, so these shardlings, they go underground.
Yeah.
Because they come from a planet that is dark most of the time. So they find a cave. They go underneath there. They dig. They build like a whole new place. And there's multiple of them. And they start repopulating in some way. They're making a new life. And they're making a whole new community and a world underneath this farmland. And then, as a part of whatever like structures that they're doing or their waste byproduct, like it starts, like crystals start growing within these caves and start growing out.
Yeah, I love that.
And
I
then
think that's great.
Erupt into the ground and then
collapsing the barn.
Collapsing the new barn. They rebuilt a barn.
Can you imagine being that family?
You built your barn because you built your barn after crystals destroyed it and crystals destroyed it again?
Again.
They would not like crystals.
No, they would not.
But yeah, and then you combine both these ideas. Perfect. And then when these guys come trying to harvest the crystals, they are then met with these dangerous shardlings because they are probing into the ground trying to get stuff, and they realize that there have been these aliens living there for decades now, and now they got a problem.
It's a big problem.
You got a war on your hands.
I'm on board. I'd read that story.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
And you get into, you know, oh, what happened maybe the family, you know, the kids ended up being special or sorcerers or mutants because, you know, the crystalline offput from the shardlings had started, you know, getting into the soil and affecting the crops too. And so, you know, created this byproduct of magical food. And so the family became kind of magical and radioactive and all sorts of fun stuff. There's a lot of places you could go with it.
Yeah. I think we could do one more of these.
I'm on board.
Dude, let's do another one.
Let's do one more.
They're pretty quick.
75.
75. That is a ridge.
Ridge?
Yes. Location is a ridge.
51.
The structure is a lighthouse. Love it.
61. Nope, 67, excuse me.
A revered lighthouse on a ridge. Well, I think that one...
Have you seen The Gorge?
No. God, I'll never watch The Gorge. You didn't speak highly of it.
Oh, good.
You said it was bad. Well,
I know.
It's bad. It's bad.
It's my sweet spot, bro.
I think this, I mean, we just go to, like, you have a lighthouse that is a beacon of hope and light. You know, it is on this great ridge on the top of, you know, like, you know, dividing like two major planes where people live. You know, you have a city A on one side, you have city B on the other side, and this lighthouse is there for some reason. Maybe city B is actually like it's in a lowland that was once the sea, and this was the edge of the sea, so they built the lighthouse here, and over time the sea has retreated and they've built a city now over there, or they've used dikes or something, but the lighthouse still remains as this like thing that they now use to communicate between the two cities, where they could like the beacons are lit and they can can like share messages between them and say, you know, whatever, and then, you know, they'll have parties up there, and it's this like this bridge between these places. And it's a warning system if something is going on or whatever. And now, because it's not really like an active lighthouse for like actual ships or something, maybe they found some other cultural purpose for it. Maybe it's they have like on the ridge, there's like a nice flatland. It's a beautiful location beneath this lighthouse. So people come up here for all types of cultural events. This is where festivals are held. And so it's revered for these reasons. However you want to play it. What do you think?
I love that idea. I'm about to do that thing that you hate when I start playing with the definitions of words and say that they never specified a ridge of what. And so
Is it going to be teeth?
No.
Or bones?
No.
Okay.
Shockingly, it's not. The lighthouse is actually just the code name for a space station on the ridge or edge of our solar system, you know, gravity well, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
But it is, what was the adjective?
Revered.
Yeah. It is the place where first contact was made between our world and between our species and some other extraterrestrial species. And so they built the lighthouse, which is now the code name for that satellite.
Yeah.
To help.
Is it a satellite or is it a station?
Station, excuse me.
Yeah.
To welcome and broadcast and be the first, you know, basically location to help guide people in, now that we have joined the spacefaring rest of the civilized universe.
In Battlestar Galactica, I think they have like a designated space station where the Cylons and the humans go to parlay. And it feels like it's got that kind of vibe, that this is like where we met with these aliens first.
Yeah.
Is that like, and if they ever want to meet again, we just say, you can meet us at the lighthouse, and maybe it's cordial relations.
Yep.
But it just says, well, this is a designated in-person meeting space that we can get to. We have diplomats who are stationed there just to deal with
full time.
This is our embassy, essentially, for you. This is the lighthouse at the edge of the
But it is the lighthouse because it is also how we we make ourselves known as part of the civilized spacefaring universe, and also guide,
yeah,
provide guidance into where, into getting into and accessing our world.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good idea.
Cool.
All right. Well, that was that.
What stuck
form of an episode?
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah, what stuck for you within this?
I like the lighthouse, and I like I like boiling the ocean to kill the underground kid. Oh no, that was the.
You boiled the first one.
Yeah, I like literally boiling the ocean, because someone said that to me at work today, and I almost had a coronary. But yeah, so now I like the idea of actually boiling the ocean just to kill a kingdom.
Wow, yeah. You're a fucking genocidal maniac.
Yeah, yeah. What about you?
I like the lighthouse.
Yeah, lighthouse is good.
I like both of the lighthouses.
Yes,
yeah. I think yours is like really evocative, and I think like a perfect thing for any sci-fi world. I don't remember what the other, what the middle one was that we did.
Crystals.
I think the crystals,
big crystal beetle.
I didn't, but that one was weird and difficult. I think it's simple, and I don't. And
but that's
I,
the fun
fine.
Of it.
Is it's
like,
fine.
Yeah,
but I think it's like it's a.
They're not all going to be winners.
Oh no, they're not. Especially because it's completely random.
Yeah.
That one feels Smallville-y.
It does feel Smallville-y.
That's yes. where I was struggling. Very accurate. I was like, this is just fucking Kansas, and we have yeah. an alien coming in, and yada yeah. yada.
X-Files shit.
Yeah, yeah. And which is fine. It's like it's a staple of the sure. genre or whatever. But yeah, it didn't light up my soul. But
didn't light up your house?
No. But the lights did. And I think yeah, the lighthouses, both lighthouses were the best. Yeah. I think this is an interesting example of like when you're doing something like this, you need that one word that changes it, that is more evocative. Barn yeah. is not evocative. In the maybe if we have more time, we can make it more interesting.
Collapse barn is not even that interesting.
It's literally the less interesting.
Yeah,
but
crystal.
No, but lighthouse as a term.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Like
yeah.
lighthouse is an yeah. evocative place.
Lighthouse.
No matter where it is, lighthouses are cool. They're unique. They're important to society and to wherever. So like, and the word itself has so many more meanings. And like, maybe we could have played with the barn and been like, well, the barn is actually like the name of a tavern in like below, you know, like a major city, and it's like where all like the farmers go, and like I don't know, like
it's a tavern only for the animal folk in,
and that's actually
interesting.
That's not bad. But like,
damn,
you know,
should have done that.
I mean, but this is the
yeah yeah,
you know, this is what happens in the improv. You
just, totally,
you're going with what's on your head. So if you like, give us your thoughts on this format if you have them. This is the first time attempting
Nathan,
so.
We're looking at you.
Thank you to Nathan, and yeah, anybody who isn't Nathan, you want to give your feedback, or Nathan, let us know what you think of it. And yeah.
That's what stuck for us.
Let us know what stuck for you.
Email's in the show notes.
Goodbye.